Now, walk with me here. Let's go back to this and put this on. Let's go back to verse 16 and just start our way through here. The very first one, this foundational thing is here, that God might give you according to the riches of His glory. Now, important that you see this, okay? We talked about this last time, but notice this, okay? This is the word that is of interest to us, according to. It is not out of the riches, okay? It is not out of His riches God might give us, but according to His riches. Now, when you think about that, it is not the source from which it comes, it is the standard of by which it is given. And it is an amazing truth that the glory of God, according to the riches of His glory, the glory of God is everything God is. It is the summation of all that God is. How else can one define glory of God? It is the summation of all that God is. And so therefore He says that standard by which, okay? That standard by which God measures out to us, the response for that which we pray, is the standard of all that God is. Now, you can't get any higher than that. I mean, because we can't even comprehend that. So we start out with this to understand that God might give to us on the standard, the basis of which He does it, not out of, but according to the standard of, the riches of the glory of Him. Now, walk with me in this and see what we can do here, because notice what happens now. Now, let's talk about this. See, in power. Now, we can talk about this because let's talk about in His power. Because we're going back up to God, okay? Well, that He might give you according to the riches of His glory. And this is God by His power being empowered. And this, by the way, is a very rare word. And the whole sense of this, okay, the issue, let me just read a reference to you here, if you will, just for a moment. The word that is used here, found four times only in the New Testament, and it conveys the idea of to be fortified, to be invigorated by, to be braced by. So it's not used, you know, but only, like I say, four times in the New Testament only. And the whole idea is that God might fortify us in His power. Okay, now, this is again, the standard by which He does it is the riches of His glory, and He is going to fortify us in His power. Now, just watch this, okay? Through the Spirit of Him, in other words, how God does it, God is the one who does it. He empowers us. And by the way, you'll notice this again. It is this passive thing again, which I will call this another divine passive. Who empowers us? God empowers us in His power. Okay? And the means whereby He does this is through the Holy Spirit. So just watch, as he's just building stuff up here, okay, notice. And then we saw last week that it is God who empowers us in His power, so we are according to the riches of His glory, in His power, so we could talk about the standard of it and so forth, but in His power, being empowered, now notice, through His Spirit, and then we saw this word last time, into the inner man. That's a very Pauline statement. You know this, okay? Remember? Although the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed, right? So we're talking about, this is a very Pauline concept. But what this is, this word. It is this word here. It is not in the inner man. This word is into the inner man. It is the depth of the penetration, if you will, right? It is the depth of the penetration of the Spirit of God into the very depths of my being that does it. So we're not talking about some external thing. We're talking about an inward empowering by God with His power through His Spirit, okay? Right into the very depths of my inner being. It is not in my inner being. It's to the very depths of my inner being. And everything about this is just piling upon piling upon piling. And that is why every word is so crucial. But I'll come back to this, okay? Let's go to verse 17. When God does this now, He then makes this statement, right? Now, we come to this. Now just notice something here, if I can. This word here, We call, just wait, just so you can hang in it with me, some of you, this word we call an infinitive. You know what one of those are, right? Okay, just check and make sure. All right, we call this an infinitive here. Now you watch this, because I have another one over here, see? I have this to dwell, right? Another one of those things here. That Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts. Now just wait. Oh, I got to go down again? Sorry about that. Now hold it. Where Christ might dwell through faith in the hearts of you. The heart of me is the same thing as this inner man, right? Are you with me? Right? So I'm talking about the same thing here in this verse as I have in that verse, okay? And by the way, well, we'll see this. This is walk. Now let's come back to this again. That Christ might dwell. Now look at this with me, okay? Because we have, and I'll transliterate, okay, this word here. We have this word. Well, let's see. We can do this, oikeo. That is to dwell, okay? Then he puts this on the front, which is a preposition which intensifies the word. You know what? He doesn't come to spend the night. Do you understand this? This is katoikeo. Oikeo is you might come and spend the night. Katoikeo, you're going to permanently stay there. Are you with me? Because when they put a preposition on the front, it what? Help me, guys. You know this. It what? It intensifies the word. And so the point of it is just think in your mind, because the point he's making, I'm praying that Christ might permanently take his dwelling place up in your heart. Now, you know, where is Christ already, huh? Is he not there already? You say, well, then what is he talking about? Because this isn't salvation. This is beyond salvation. And notice it's through faith. The sense of my fully appropriating the reality of Christ indwelling inside of my heart. Now, when you think about it, this is not. Let me go back and do this again with you if I can find it here somewhere. Well, it was somewhere around here. Somebody showed me where I put it, but anyhow, it's all right. It's all right. Whatever. Where was the one before? I'll find it. Just hang in there with me. It's all right. 16. Oh, there it is. There we go. Watch. This fully dwelling inside of me, permanently dwelling in my heart, right? Are you with me? It is no different than this right here. That God might empower me in power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. It's not two separate things. They're one and the same. If Christ is fully dwelling inside of my life permanently there, this is also equivalent to what the Holy Spirit is doing. They're one and the same. They're two aspects of the same thing. Are you with me? Okay? Now watch this, because I need to go back and do my triangle. And you understand, we're developing this triangle as we go along, okay? You'll trust it, because somehow in my mind this becomes clear. So walk with me and sense where this is, okay? I need to break this bottom one down just a little bit, because I'm going to divide this in half like this and divide it in half like this, okay? This is empowered. Oh, somewhere there. By the Spirit. This is, how do I put it, fully, I'll try the word, fully indwelt. That's the best I can say in here, and you can do it. By the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? They are one, they are two aspects of the same thing, okay? If you are empowered by the Spirit of God, you are fully indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're fully indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have one without the other. They come together, the same thing, okay? Two aspects of the same thing. And in fact, I showed you this. If you look at this again, show you this. Well, we said it before, I'll try it again here. We said we would. Look at this. You see what we talked about, we have this infinitive here, we have this infinitive here, you see where in the world it is. You see there are two ways of saying the same thing in here. But now look at this. I am empowered by God in my inner man through the Holy Spirit. I am indwelt by Christ, but you see the way it happens, I appropriate the reality of this by faith. Okay? Now, can we take the next step? Walk with us and see what happens. Now notice, okay, in love being. And then what happened? We have these two words here. This word is from, this is from agriculture or some kind of botany kind of stuff. This is from building. This is laying a foundation of building. By the way, for those of you, this is tithemi is related to this. Anyhow, and you know it's a perfect here because in both, it was perfect. Look at that. See? You guys, look at that. The point. This is incredible truth. Just walk, watch with me through a while, okay? The point of all of this is the next prayer request. Watch this. I'll take you to the next prayer request and then I will come back to this one. Look at my next prayer request. Is that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, right? Okay? Are you with me? That prayer request is built upon this prayer request. The foundation for the second request. We're in this triangle again, yes? Right? We're back in this triangle again. The foundation for request number two is request number one. You need this to get there. And then you need that one to get to the next step. Are you with me? So we get to this first step, and so understanding that these participles here, and they are participles, they are going to give us the means whereby we take the next step. All right, now watch. All right, let me go back and put them back up here again. Now, you stop me, wave your hand if we're going too fast in this business, and we'll back up a little bit, but you're not too far, but we'll do it a bit. Now watch what happens here. We have this, and we're here, okay? This, the indwelling, the full indwelling of Christ, the being empowered by His Spirit, all of this that we appropriate by faith, we don't do it, we accept it, right? Accept it by faith. We claim it, we live by it, whatever. All of this then leads to in love being rooted and established. Now, just one statement here, by the way. The channel by which he takes place is the faith that we have in our hearts. All right. All of this. Now, this part is tied to what happens in verse 18. By being rooted and grounded in love, we are able then the next one that we might. Okay, so let's start with this. The two words, rooted. Some of you know my Jiggy Jiggy song. That fits in here, see. You know, we don't. Can we do it? Yes. One of my favorite songs in Africa is Leaving, see? This is it, huh? Can you read that far away? Can we do it, okay? We should sing this. This is nice. I taught my grandkids this, see? Aurororum. Jiggy. Jiggy. Lomi len. Be a fe. Be a ka. Ha. Jesu. You know that word. Yo. Will. Bada. Wa. By the way, I should tell you what happened. I was with my wife the other day, and I'd heard about this place. I passed a place called Lagos Cafe. Lagos was the capital of Nigeria. It was pure African food. And I talked to the lady in her language. It was the first language I ever knew. And I just this language. She came unglued. It was very good. And she served us good African food. We eat with our fingers, no forks. This is nice. Here we go. The Word of God. Okay? Now this one, they love to sing this because old ladies, everybody, you know, Jiggy Jiggy is what they do like this. So their fists would go. Aurororum, Jiggy Jiggy, Lomi Le. The word of God, jiggy jiggy, is so strong. What lomi le? Its roots are deep in the ground. This is it. Deep in the ground. See le, and biafe. Whether you like it, biaka. Whether you don't, Jesus will come again. That's the name of the song. It's sort of cute, but it's an in-your-face song. But the point of it is this whole passage. This. Word we have here, the first word. This one here is jiggy jiggy lomi le, right? It is the whole sense of the love, it being rooted in love. It is the sense that, you know, because of this. because of the indwelling, because of the work of the Spirit of God, because of the indwelling of Christ, I am thereby rooted in love. And then here's this word, I am permanently established in love. If you think about this, now just watch. Can I go back? Pyramid again. Here we go, or it's a triangle again. Watch this. You sense what happens here? Try it. You sense that as the Lord Jesus Christ finds permanent dwelling in my heart, as the Holy Spirit empowers me with God's power, do you see what happens? As that happens, I become what? I become deeply, permanently rooted in love. I become deeply, permanently established, foundationed in love, all right? And so what I have is this, okay? I'm going to try this word, rooted. And I'm going to make this term up, foundationed. Well, here we go, somehow like that. In love. Now, you understand, the only way I become rooted and foundationed in love permanently is by having Jesus Christ permanently dwelling in my heart by faith and being empowered by the Spirit of God in the inner man, into the very depths of the inner man, right? The only way this love happens is as the Holy Spirit comes down into the very depths of my being, empowering me with the power of God, and as the Lord Jesus Christ takes up permanently dwelling in my heart, yes? Now that's level number one. It has to happen that way. I think of the term, and here we go, that the love of God, what? Is shed abroad in our hearts, what? By the Holy Spirit which is given unto us, yes? You see, that's what this passage is saying in essence. And so he starts with this thing. The very first prayer request I have, foundational to everything else, is that somehow I might be empowered by the power of God through the Spirit. That's number one. That I might fully be indwelt by Jesus Christ, permanently indwelt by Jesus Christ. That's number two. And that is something different than salvation. It is something I do by faith, accepting the fact that Jesus Christ is permanently indwelling and controlling my life. And when that happens, you come back to these terms again. I'll put them back up here again. These two terms, both of them are perfect tenses. In other words, I am fully, permanently, if you will, rooted in love. I am permanently established, foundationed in love. Do you understand? It is, love is that in which I'm rooted. Love is that upon which my life is built, when in fact Christ fully indwells me. If love is not that which I'm rooted, if love is that not that upon which my life is foundationed, if that is not true, then in fact the Lord Jesus Christ is not firmly taking residence in my heart by faith, and the Holy Spirit is not empowering me by God's power. Yes? Now just think with this for a while, because it starts with that. Now, walk with me to level number two, alright? Let's go to the next one of these that's, okay? I have to find it, but we'll go there one of these days. All right, I'll talk about it first while I look. Here we go. Second that. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now let's take that one, because. See this word? See this word right here? That one right there? You know what? It is not found anywhere else in the New Testament, hardly ever found, if at all, in literature, pure Greek literature. Okay? Just so you know that. It's a rare word. When they read this thing, they've not seen it before, more likely. It is the idea of having full, and by the way, just so some of you see this. This is the word for power right here. See? That word right there. It is this. Iskuos. What he does is put the preposition on the front, which gives it the sense, if you will, in this passage, to have full strength. And again, this is a divine imperative, that I might be empowered. That I might be given the full strength. Okay? Now watch the next word. Walk with me. That I might be given the full strength to grasp. To grasp. The full strength to grasp, and again, we're talking about this grasp what? And let's, before I go any further, and what we're going to do, by the way, if I could go, let me find it. Hang in with me for a moment. What am I going to grasp? I'll get you way down at the end here. You can see it, the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. So I am back to the love again, right? Yes? But I need to understand, I need to have the foundation to move to that point. Let me come back to here. The point that is interesting here, I want to fully comprehend. And look at something else, by the way. Watch this. I'm going to get the rest of the sentence because, see, look at this. You with me again? Everybody with me? Watch this. It doesn't matter if you understand the part of speech. You see the idea if you just walk with me and watch, okay? This we call an infinitive again, all right? Here is another one right here, okay? And here is a word that connects the two very closely. I want to be empowered by God to be able to grasp the what? I want to be able to grasp the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. But I want to also be able to gnonai the love of Christ. This is to know as well. Okay. If I'm going to grasp with all the saints this, and I'm going to know this, this is experiential knowledge, the other is more intellectual kind of thing. I am going to know and I'm going to, in my life, experience the reality of what's going to happen here. Now watch what's going to happen here. I want to come back here and do this before it goes any further. With all of the saints. Now listen, this is not something just a few people can have. Yes? This is something available to all of us. Yes? This isn't something I have by myself. This is something all of us can have. And when I talk about this prayer request, and I gotta say to you, you know that. We talked about this before. Number one, the problem with this passage, challenge to us, let's put it that way, is number one, the nature of the requests are all spiritual. And then, the kind of things he has and how far he goes with these things. And you look at this and say, you know what? All of us can experience this. We don't do it in isolation. This isn't just a few of us. It can be all of us. Therefore, we don't just pray it for the few spiritual people in the church. We pray for it, but do this with all the saints. Now look at what he talks about. What is the breadth and length and height and depth? Now, when you read that, what is this all about? And let me read something to you. These terms are introduced, and let me read this, with no other purpose. Why do you have all of this? You want to sit down and define it? Length and breadth and height. No, the point of it. Four dimensions, right? This way, this way, this way, this way. Why are they here? They're introduced with no other purpose than the simple and consistent purpose of setting forth the surpassing magnitude of Christ's love for us. You don't try to define these words. You just understand there is no way to comprehend Christ's love for us. And by the way, it is not our love for Him, it's Christ's love for us. Only as the Spirit of God comes into my life and empowers me with God's power. Only as the Lord Jesus Christ fully dwells in my life by faith. Only as that happens can I therefore find myself rooted and grounded in love. And then, built upon that, if that happens, I move to the next level and God then empowers me on the basis of that by being rooted and grounded in love. And by the way, see, the foundation of my understanding love is love. Are you with me? I cannot begin to fathom His love for me until I begin to be rooted and grounded in Christ and I begin to be established in power by the Spirit. And when this has happened, then you see I'm foundationed in love. And as I have this root of love, I can understand and comprehend love. I can't do the one without the other. Yes? So I'm rooted in love so that I may comprehend love. And you see, it is with all the saints I do this. And the whole reason for length and breadth and height is to say the surpassing extent and greatness and depth and whatever you want to call it of Christ's immeasurable love for me. And you know, if you understand you're nothing and you are only something because you are nothing because of what He's done for you, it is the surpassing greatness of God's love and grace that makes us this way, right? Only that. Now watch. Walk with me. I want to keep going with this just for a moment. Now, verse 19, just let me take that. So, you notice, and to know. And there's no way you can do this. The surpassingness of the knowledge of the love of Christ, see. You see what's interesting is because I want to know what is, in a sense, unknowable in one sense, okay? It is far beyond all comprehension. But you see, are you with me? Well, somewhere here. You see, this part, okay, which introduces this whole thing here. The second that introduces grasping and experientially knowing Christ. I have to put this in here. How do you spell it? Whatever it is. Measurable. Why do I have to do? I think it's two M's. It must be. Immeasurable. Probably one of those things in the computer would correct me and say it doesn't exist. But now, Christ's immeasurable love for me. Right? So you see, this that leads to this that. Whence I find myself, but it is only this root of love that leads to this knowledge of love, and it has to be that way. Now, let me just, some observations before we go any further here. Just give me a few moments. So you understand this with regard to the experiential knowledge of love. And by the way, this statement, I love this statement. See, for by love only is love known. Are you with me? For by love only is love known. See, for by love only is love known. Only as by the Spirit's empowering and the Holy and in Christ's indwelling can I fully then be rooted and grounded in love. And only, you see, by that love can I comprehend the other love. Does that make sense at all? It just one moves to the next one. Now watch. Now, in the love of Christ, as I said, is that. Now, listen, the last one, and we will do this, and then we come back next time and try to finish up. But you see, the last step, if I move from this to this to this, filled with, well, God's fullness. You see, It is that way. This, and let's talk about filled with God's fullness. Does that mean I become like God? No. But I'm filled with the things that characterize God. What characterizes God? God's wisdom, right? Filled with all the wisdom and knowledge of God. We have this, the epignosis that we have is prayed for in Colossians. God's love in this passage, right? You see, it is the sense that God in His fullness indwells me. Well, you know what? Let's go back to number one. If I'm empowered by the Spirit into the very depths of the inner man, if Jesus Christ Himself fully inhabits my life, right? Am I not then thereby what? Filled up with what? I mean, if they are inside of me, they are empowering me, they are causing their life to be seen in me, am I not thereby filled up with the fullness of what God is? Because is that not God indwelling me? Yes? And so the whole point of this is leading to this very point. The whole thing for which all of us must be praying is that somehow God in all of His fullness might be filling us. But now just think about this for a while, and we come back to it next time as we do this, because is it not significant, you see? The very first thing, go with me in your text to chapter 4. When he finishes this section, the very first thing he's going to say, I take you to verse 1 again of chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another, and notice this thing in love, being diligent, you see, to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes on about the unity. There's one body, one Spirit, just you call him one hope and so forth. Now, the whole point of it is, how are we going to maintain unity in the body of Christ unless, unless we are rooted and grounded in love, right? And through that love, we come to comprehend a greater love, the great love, the love of Christ for us. And through that, we come to be filled with the fullness of God. If that doesn't happen, you don't do the next step. And the reason why, let's go back to the problem. We say, why is there not unity in the church? It's because we are not walking the fullness of God. Why is there not unity in the church? Because we don't comprehend or grasp or experientially know the love of Christ for us. Why is there not unity in the church? Because we are not, by faith, being filled up, if you will, by the very presence of Jesus Christ himself and the very power by the Holy Spirit himself to thereby be rooted and grounded in love. You see, if that isn't true, the other isn't true. And that's why you've got to start here to get there. Does that make sense at all? And so therefore, you see, the whole unity of chapter 4 is built upon this experience of love in chapter 3. And it comes to us. We got to go back. Let's go back to the root of the problem. It comes back to me by faith, appropriating the power of God in my life through the Spirit and saying, God, I want that to be an experience of my life. It's by me by faith, it says that, appropriating. It's not that I get the dwelling of Christ, he's in me. But I, by faith, appropriate the reality of his presence in my life and the control over my life so that they together might root my life and ground my life permanently in love. And out of that love, I will come to grasp and to comprehend the greater love that Christ has for me. And out of that, I will come to experience and live in light of the very presence of the fullness of God in my life. Dwell on that for a week. Sense if there is not something. You see that building crescendo of this passage, right? And the reality of all of it, the whole sense of when you talk about being filled with the fullness of God, it is that sense. I think about this and it goes way out there somewhere. It doesn't come down. But you see, when I start to sense it in light of this passage, I understand what this is. It is the love of God in my life. It is the peace of God in my life. It's the knowledge of God in my life. It is all of these things that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's these aspects of God that become the very fiber of my being, yes? Thereby I am filled with the very fullness of God. And well, I should be, because I am permanently indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm constantly empowered by the Spirit of God with the power that only God can give. Now, let me say something to you. That is what we need to pray for each other. We don't need the other stuff. I got to tell you, if you got this, you can take care of the other. Does that make sense at all? We could cope for the rest of life if this were our truth, right? Let's start here. And somehow, as we pray for each other, let's take it a step beyond. Because I want to pray that God in all of his fullness might indwell you. That God's power might be evident in your life. That God's love might be evident in your life. That God's wisdom might be evident in your life. These kinds of things, if in fact he in his fullness is indwelling you, you know what? The rest of it will be very easy to deal with, will it not, right? It will be. Dwell on this week and see if you don't sense what's happening with this thing as it builds to a crescendo at the end of this. And then you see, when you end with this, you end with a doxology, now unto him who is able. And that is awesome too, because then, you know, you question, okay, just let's go back to this. I take you back to verse 13. Look at verse 13. He says, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, or therefore your glory. Now you see, how can I do this and live this way? I can do it because of what? The empowering that God gives me in verses 14 to 21. I can live this way. If in fact the reality of God's presence and God's power and God's love is in my life, I can do this. I can do anything, right? And so therefore, when you look at this kind of thing, he says, live this way. And you say, how do I live this way? By the power and the enablement that God is able to give. And then you watch, right? You watch in your weakness and inability and your nothingness. You watch his power coming to tabernacle in your weakness, huh? And to do all of these things in your life. It is an incredible thing. I am nothing. I am not even one thing. But I'm not in one least bit behind the very greatest of all the apostles. Why? It's all because of what he's doing in my life, right? Amazing truth. Anyhow, it is too much to comprehend, but I'll try, you try, we'll see what we can do with it. All right. How do we pray for you as we conclude this evening? Tell me how we pray for you. I think we pray for all of us that we live this way, right? And we start praying this way. But how do we pray for you? Anything special? We're talking, you know, ongoing, okay? We got neighbors, we're praying ongoing. You know that we're not going to stop with those. And those are requests that keep going. And I ask you one thing. If we keep praying for these, if something happens, you come back and tell us, because it's tough to be praying for things. I tell you, it's exciting. Oh, listen, in class the other day, I stopped because some fellow was praying for his father and mother. So I started asking him questions. His mother's been married to five guys. He had five fathers. I don't comprehend that. So what he's praying for and say father is his present stepfather and his original father, who is now married to another woman. So he's got, okay, two families praying for that way. And then, well, we just start going this way because there are four guys like this. One of them gets kicked out of his house at 16 by a family that's into the cult kind of stuff. He is 32. At 26, he comes to faith in Christ. And he's where he is today. Can't even talk to his family. They won't talk to him at all. You know what? I don't even comprehend where these people live. On the other hand, you begin to then take them into your life and say, these are prayer requests for 10, 20 years. And I remember a student who came back after 10 years out of school, and he walks into the foyer, and it was exciting because I said, how are your parents doing? And he says, you know what, I'm glad you asked. They're in town. They just accepted Christ as Savior. They can't buy enough books to take back to Chicago. Do you know a good church in Chicago they can go to? I want to tell you something. When we're talking about neighbors and friends and relatives, we're talking about long-term prayer requests, right? So I plead with you, okay? It may not be every day you do it, but you begin to put these names and people in your mind, and over a period of time, you just keep praying and you keep checking. And that's why I tell students, you leave school, don't let me go. If somehow 5 or 10 years from now it happens, write me a letter, do something, email me now, right? You may never get an answer, but email me anyhow, whatever. So just the excitement, just understand, okay, these are ongoing requests, and so we've got these neighbors we're praying for. Don't stop that, all right? We pray for God's surpassing wisdom for you during these days, and just what you do. That is why I pray for you and God's unbelievable expression of His fullness in your life. Anybody else, though, something specific we should pray for you? Continue to pray for you guys. What God ever is doing, we thank God for and trust Him for, but we pray for you and just trust for God's guidance and provision for you. And I don't say that lightly, but it just anyhow we pray for you. But anything specific we should be praying? A lot of us working with unsafe people, lift your hands up so we can see. I mean, I know in the school situation for you, at work for you, yeah, we just look around us here. We just have a lot. And pray for each other. We all need it. Anything, though, specific? Yes, John.
Today I got a call from David. He graduates on Friday from boot camp.
All right.
And there's no problem.
Oh.
For some reason, when they did a security check on him, the Social Security came up with some kind of more historical outcome. I don't know really what it is, but he may not be able to graduate because of it until they get resolved. So just prayer that somehow through the process they would resolve the issue, whatever it might be, so he can graduate Friday, because he was saying today that we cannot get this element resolved off the Social Security number, that it could be another 2 to 4 months, which is very difficult for him and Wendy.
I guess so. And it has to be by Friday, or else they do the whole.
Right, and they have to wait.
Oh my goodness!
And there's like,
we can pray for that.
Graduates on Friday, so these little stars, because of just the sheer numbers of people graduating, and the government doesn't necessarily do things real quickly. So he wasn't hopeful, but God was working in a mighty way that if he has to wait there longer, that you have patience. Just know that God has a purpose for that.
Okay. I'll do that. It is no accident, is it? No accident. Yes.
I would like to ask for prayer that these children that received Christ last week would be able to continue to come. They indicated that they would like to, but that doesn't always happen with the parents in charge.
No.
So that would be one if you could pray for that.
Well, my continued prayer is that these young people will go home and parents will be saved through this. So we pray for that as well.
Well,
and I know you've tried that part, right?
Yeah, and I was kind of going to give up on it this year, but God gave me an idea that one of the Awana program sends home a magazine once a month, and there was an idea in there to take a picture of the child with Sparky, and then go to the home and give the parents the picture and thank them for letting the child come to Awana, and then asking them if they would like to have a Sparky party at their house, which would include the games, some of the games that we do and the songs we sing, and then a gospel presentation. So we're seriously beginning to consider doing this, and so we need people who are interested in helping with that, because there's a lot of new kids, and you know, we have 10 parties. We'd like to have at least 2 groups going out. So this I'm so excited about this. God has just done this in my heart, and
maybe we need to start offering Sparky's birthday parties and come to their house and help them do it, right? By the way, do remind me, could you check and see if we can get the In-N-Out Burger thing again for one night? Because I think that would be, maybe we need to do it more often, but even that, to see if we can get parents out to some evening like that, which would be very, very good on a Wednesday night. That would be exciting for us to do. However in the world we do, yes.
Just connect to this other request, still for Utah, because
yes.
You know, they decided the next 3 months maybe he can't come.
He cannot,
because he's playing, baseball or something, from 4 to 6, so they think that's too much for him, and I said, oh, you know, he could do it at least once a month, he could manage, I'm sure he can survive. So anyway, keep praying that
pray
I can.
For that, you bet.
And I told the mother, look, that's of your husband. She said, I can't talk to my husband about it. I said, no, but you need to look into his spirit.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know that she'd come to know the Lord yet or not, but she's certainly open to it.
Well, it was fun to see how full the Smiths van was, and then there was another vehicle on top of that one, right? Some other friends before, so that's exciting to watch it happen. Anyhow, good. This is good. Listen to me. We pray. We want to see this church filled with new believers, not just a lot of old ones, right? We need to see new birth. My brother was telling me yesterday, his son, who's a missionary in Kenya, they just baptized 52 believers out there, and that's exciting stuff, huh? That's exciting. So we just need to pray that God will grace us with the privilege of doing that. But anyhow, I hope. Okay, anybody else? Yes?
It's for Thursday, because it turns out I'm on call to be a witness for that juvenile that was stealing from Rite Aid back in August. And it's right during the women's Bible study. So it'd be nice to get your Bible study before they call me.
Okay.
But, if they call me. But just pray that if I end up going to passing a courthouse, that there'll be, you know, there'll be a purpose and there'll be someone there that I'll be able to share the gospel with and just be used in that. And if I'm not called, then...
So that's Thursday? We don't know what time, right? Okay. Yes?
I don't know if you can
say it, but we need to remember whose church it is, right? Yep. But, and then it's not to qualify that. We balance it out, right, with that and then the other side. But anyhow, yes, it's a both-and issue. But we will be praying for that. What did Judy say? She wanted to farm her daughter out for a week after the news was... All right. Stand with me as we close in prayer, please. Again, our Father, this evening, we're grateful to you for just helping us understand a different way to pray. Giving us, our Father, a greater comprehension of that which surpasses what we so often spend our time doing. making our focus be that about you and not so much about ourselves. And our Father, we come this evening just praising you for a God who gives out of, according to, if you will, the riches of his glory. So our Father, this evening, we come to such a God and we recognize that. And so we come this evening, we bring these requests before you and understand that you have a purpose, you have a plan. You and your sovereignty have seen fit to direct Bill and Amy to another ministry. And our Father, this you, the sovereign leader of your church, knows what this is all about, and we rest in your sovereign leadership. And I do pray for the choir. I pray for those who've been impacted, as all of us have, but I do pray for them especially and ask for your special grace for them. And I do thank you for each one of them and their faithful commitment week after week. And our Father, we commit David to you, again understanding that this is a part of an eternal plan that you established before the world was ever established. And we don't know what this relates to or what the purpose of it is, but our Father, it would seem from our point of view, it would be a good thing to have it resolved this week. And we just entrust it into your care and ask again for, again, your faithful provision of this. But again, our Father, above everything else, that you be glorified in this, whatever happens. And our Father, as well, we commit Lisa to you for Thursday and just entrust her into your care and thank you for the opportunities you will give her, you can give her. And our Father, we just pray that if it be your will that she be there, that you will grant to her an understanding of that which you'd have her do. And if not, again, our Father, we praise you for that release for her in the midst of all that she is doing. Our Father, we're grateful to you for those who have come to know you as Savior of their lives. We thank you, our Father, for many of them from unsaved homes. We ask, Lord, for the impact that this will have. We continue to pray for Utah. We pray for his father, for his mother. Pray, our Father, that they will allow him to be here at least some weeks during this time. But, our Father, we pray for his salvation. Pray for his mother. Pray for his dad. We ask, loving Father, as we would attempt to reach into some of these homes, that you'll give wisdom and direction. And again, our Father, only you can raise dead people from their death to life, and so we yield this matter to you and entrust it into your care. Thank you again, our Father, for your presence with us this evening. We leave from here, yielding our lives to that which you will do through us as we ask it all. In the powerful name of our loving Savior and Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Bill? Did Nigel get hold of either of you?
No.
We were going to see if any of the wives were free to join us tomorrow for lunch.
Kids, no kids.
I don't care.
I'll bring my child.
If we don't do that, it'd be nice to have them with us, and we'll find a place we can go. We'll figure that out. I'll figure that out tomorrow. Same time. We need, well, whatever we go, if we're going to go that many, especially that day, we've got to get somewhere early. So I'll just check to see what happens, but see what we can do. But
fit around that table at the Chinese place.
We'll see what we can do. But anyhow, yes, if they can, it would be nice to have them join us. That's no excuse for not taking them out to dinner at night, but at least it's...
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm
Hope I wasn't too wordy.
No. This is a family. We're going to do it that way. That's good.
Good. I think, you know, a lot of people are torn as Christians of whether to be involved at all politically. And yet, when it comes down to moral questions like this, how can we not?
Well, what I do here, and I'm very careful, we don't want to push it here.
Sure.
I don't do that.
Yes.
On the other hand, I'm glad to give opportunity for people to participate and want to do it that way. And maybe sometimes we can be more proactive than that. I just am very careful that we don't get over the door in the other direction.
Absolutely.
So if I'm very glad for this.
And we don't want to start a controversy right in the middle of the church.
Nor do we want that to be the main. But this is a very crucial issue, so I just think it's very important for people to know. So I'm glad.
Great. Love to have you come to one of our meetings.
Well, that's a pretty hard thing to do. You do that in my behalf.
Okay.
And I'll do it because I'm so torn and stuff. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick, too. Appreciate it.
I'm going to use this. I'm sure he would be able to.